Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
That's an ad produced by the Church of England that was supposed to run during the box office opening of Star Wars in Great Britain, simply the Lord's Prayer, said by many different people. Now, the theater openers there, the British theaters, have rejected this ad. Their concerns, well, we'll get into their concerns here in just a few minutes with Terry Mattingly. What was the Church of England attempting to accomplish with this ad, and what does it have to say about religious life in Great Britain? Is the story really about Star Wars, about something else? Joining us to answer those questions, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Is this story really about the Star Wars movie?
Well, Star Wars is the frame on the picture. I think the real story here is the actual kind of arguments in England about whether or not that society is in any sense of the word Christian. And also, quite frankly, it's not really about the Church of England being prevented from running an ad before Star Wars. It's about the fact that the most powerful series of companies in England who control the theaters are scared that if you let anything up on that screen about religion linked to an advertisement, you're going to have to let all religious messages up on that screen, which means I really think that what's looming in the background here is fear about the tensions that would be caused if Muslim groups started doing similar advertising in England. And frankly, I think they were worried that some Muslims might be offended by the Lord's Prayer. When they said that this message would be offensive to some people, which is what the advertisers said, I think that that's part of what they're thinking about, even though mainstream Muslim groups in England very quickly said, no, let them put the Lord's Prayer up there. You know, this is no big deal. So I think this is really about how tense everybody is right now in the current atmosphere in England about religion in general. And when you scratch into that, behind that is fears of security and terrorism, I think, is really behind that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because causing offense is one thing, but in this case, the very strong subtext seems to be there is a group potentially in Great Britain that you really don't want to offend religiously.
Well, I make sure that you understand I'm ranking that second.
Right.
I think the number one fear here is what happens if other religious groups, including Muslims, start wanting to put stuff up there.
Sure.
And we get into an uproar, which is why I started my column this week for Universal with something that a progressive evangelical theologian kind of his out-of-the-box way of looking at this thing was he basically said, imagine you're in a theater and the opening lines, of the Quran starts appearing on the screen. So right before you get to dun-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and that whole big Star Wars thing that everybody's waiting for, and the audience is all pumped up and ready to scream in religious glee that there's a new Star Wars movie, all of a sudden on the screen appears, "In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the sustainer and cherisher and sustainer of the world, most gracious, most merciful." You can kind of get the idea, right? Try to imagine that message going up there. Well, if you put the Lord's Prayer up there, why can't you put up the opening lines of the Quran?
What was the Church of England attempting to accomplish with this advertising campaign?
Well, I mean, it's a tremendous opportunity for an ad. I mean, at this point, they're estimating an opening weekend gate for Star Wars on this planet, and we don't know if it's showing in other on other planets yet. But on this planet, they're saying opening weekend box office gate, $615 million opening weekend. That's the estimate. Like something like 5 million people in England alone. Wouldn't you want your ad up there?
Sure.
I mean, and then you throw in the Church of England is facing the same problem that the kind of old line progressive Protestant denominations face here in America, which is a tremendous fall off in attendance in England more than membership. And the Church of England membership to some degree is kind of like a pro forma automatic thing. And in some ways, you've got people walking around calling themselves cultural Anglicans. But in terms of attendance, England continues to have tremendous problems with empty pews in the state church. And not only that, the heads that are there are almost all covered in gray hair. So if you've got fewer people and older people, don't you want to have your ad? And by the way, it's a very wonderful ad. I give them full props for a gorgeous, beautiful, well-thought-out ad. In a bizarre way, I hope that just as many people see it now because of the controversy going online, looking it up, as would have seen it in the theaters. But, wouldn't you want people seeing that advertisement in that setting?
Now, you said there's kind of the ongoing argument in British culture and society as to whether England is in any sense still Christian. Why is that? Set our minds in the proper framework here, because we look at this as Americans, and that's distinctly different than the history that Great Britain has with this question.
Well, put it this way. I always tell people when they get the argument going whether American is a Christian country, I always stress to them that American is not a Christian culture, it's a Protestant culture, which means essentially that from day one, it has been pluriform, when it comes to its views of doctrine, worship, truth, et cetera, et cetera. When you talk about England, you're really talking about something, an identity that's much more ancient, and you also have a nation over which battles have been fought for that religious identity, and basically the Church of England ends up standing. And Americans don't have any idea what it's like to live in a culture that has had one religious tradition, art form, literature, prayer life, etc., so form a country. Particularly when you consider the degree to which public schools in British life have a wide variety that would include schools that here in America we frankly would consider private and even religious. You could flash back a generation or two and basically say that the majority of English culture walked around speaking the language of the King James Bible and the Book of Common Prayer. And that's no longer the case, obviously. And you have people that feel that grieve the loss of that shared culture for reasons that are just cultural and intellectual and artistic as much as anything. And then there are people who welcome it and want it to go away. There are the multiculturalism debate in England has been going on now for at least two generations, whether that culture should be actively repressed. You have the symbol of whether Prince Charles has said are debated whether when he becomes king, if he ever does, should he say that he is defender of the faith, or should he say that he is defender of faith, dropping the article, or even more radically, the defender of faiths. Well, when it's all the way down to what your king says when he's taking his oath, that's pretty much a big identity thing, isn't it?
So this isn't just a question of religious pluralism for them.
It's whether or not there's even a foundation at the base of that culture that has existed, you know, for many more centuries than here in America. And the point I meant about, I wasn't just being nasty when I said that we're not a Christian culture, we're a Protestant culture. The essential nature of whatever the religious dimension is in American life is essentially multiple form and Protestant. And that's built right into our concepts of free exercise of religion, but also in no state established church or faith. The state is not going to recognize any particular faith. Well, in England, they still have, as of now, they still have an established state church. Now, a huge report has just come out in England that essentially is telling the public, and this is being debated in the papers right now, even as we speak, that it's time to drop it. It's time to drop the Christian heritage of the nation, admit that it is now a multiple faith and interfaith culture, just as much as it is a secular culture, and that England needs to come to terms with this and adapt for the future. So if you take all of that and you mix it with Star Wars, you've got a pretty big story, right?
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the Church of England advertisement rejected by British theaters on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 9th. When we come back, we'll take up that subject of it being the official religion of Great Britain, at least for the time being. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues, etc. 300.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues, Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly of the Universal Syndicate about the Church of England advertisement rejected by British theaters. Earlier today, we were talking with Chris Roseborough about how wrong people can get the reading of the simple Christmas story of Christ's birth. You will not find that to be the case with the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for December, O Bethlehem. It's a children's book telling the story of Christ's birth with Christ and his saving work at the center. Find out more about this arch book from Concordia Publishing House at our website, issuesetc.org. Makes a great Christmas gift for your child, your grandchild, or your godchild as well, ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem, the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for December, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Terry, you mentioned before the break that we are still, at least officially, dealing with a state religion, a state-sanctioned religion. The official religion of England is Christianity. I wonder, in response to that objection raised by the corporate objection raised by the British theaters, if we let one religious view advertise, we have to let all religious views advertise. It seems to me that someone could say, well, no, this is the state religion of Great Britain. We don't have to give equal time to all other religious views.
Well, see, they're caught in between, aren't they? But this is an excellent question to wrestle with advertising, which is not only free speech, it's paid free speech. I think you see some very similar arguments here in America about what actually constitutes sacred turf in America. I've just spent a decade living in Washington, D.C. The same thing happens in New York. You have arguments about what you can or you cannot advertise in the moving cars of the subway system. That's about as trapped an audience as you can get. Well, you can advertise Planned Parenthood, but you can't advertise against Planned Parenthood. You can advertise for gay rights marches, gay rights events, gay organizations, but you can't advertise for organizations that are opposed to gay rights or that are ex-gay movements, for example, religious groups that believe that you should either attempt to change your sexual behavior, not orientation, but behavior, or that you should live a life of celibacy. I don't think they would let you advertise such an organization in the subway trains in D.C. So if that is if that's a advertising struggle here in America, what would you say that points toward as America's actual religion?
I wouldn't even know what to call it. What would you call it?
A sexual revolution. I mean, that essentially right now that the sacrament of American life is the sexual revolution. It's the thing that we can't allow the public to still debate in that kind of a setting. So traditional religious people have to sit on the subway and look at the ads for things that offend them, but people who are liberal, progressive, and that used to mean pro-free speech, et cetera, don't have to sit on the cars and look at posters that offend them. Well, in England, I think they're trying to shut that debate off about religion before it gets started by saying we just can't allow – religion's too hot. We can't allow it up there on the screen at all. And this brings us to another point where in my column this week, I interviewed an excellent Catholic film critic named Stephen Greydonis, and I was trying to find people to talk to that could just talk about Star Wars as a symbolic – art form and cultural form or even religious form. And he just raised the obvious point here. In England right now, especially among young people, what's more popular right now, the Church of England or Star Wars?
Well, the latter by far.
To some degree, in a bizarre way, isn't this like this generation's equivalent of John Lennon saying that he's bigger than that the Beatles are bigger than Christ? What John Lennon meant, and John Lennon stressed later after a lot of records were burned and everything else, John Lennon said, I'm not saying I'm happy about this. I'm saying in England today, the Beatles are bigger than Jesus. Well, folks, it isn't even a contest right now in England, I would think, especially among the young, in terms of which is bigger, Star Wars or the Church of England. Who will have more people with their seats in chairs or pews that weekend, the Church of England or Star Wars? That's probably not a competition either.
Well, and probably the audience for Star Wars in the first weekend will account for the audience in the Church of England for many weeks to come, combined.
That's a distinct possibility. Stephen just raised the point, if you walked up to people under the age of 40 or 50 in England, I didn't have a chance to quote all of this, but if you walked up to them and asked them fine points of doctrinal detail about Star Wars, they are much more likely to know that mythology inside out than they would know the contents of the Book of Common Prayer. Which then leads us to the highly humorous but ironic thing that you now have several hundred thousand people in England registering in the state census of religion as Jedi Knights. Now, at this point, that's only about 200,000 people, and who knows how many of them are serious, but the religious symbolism of Star Wars and of the Force being exactly the kind of quasi-religious, spiritual but not religious symbolism system that is so popular among the nuns and the religiously unaffiliated, all of that just adds to the poignancy of the Church of England, the ultimate in classy, state-funded, high-brow religious expression, needing to turn to Star Wars to piggyback to try to get a message about the Lord's Prayer out to the English public. You add all that up, that's just the second layer of this story. You add all that up, and that's pretty poignant and amazing as well.
I'd like your thoughts on that, kind of the inclusion of the Lord's Prayer, at least a segment of the Lord's Prayer there, with all of the revision of texts and of ideas in the Church of England that has taken place in the last decade. Does it strike you as ironic that they would kind of go to the Lord's Prayer for their ad?
No, the Lord's Prayer, frankly, the language of it is not that offensive, you know, in terms of liberal religion versus conservative religion. And by the way, the Church of England has had support for its position come from some very unusual and powerful places, from liberal politicians. I think what raised everybody's eyebrow more than anything else was when biologist Richard Dawkins came out in favor of the Lord's Prayer being shown before Star Wars, saying, you know, good grief, nobody has a right to not be offended. And then perhaps even in a higher authority than Richard Dawkins, Princess Leia came out. Now, Carrie Fisher, the actress, came out and just told everybody that was criticizing the edit, telling them to get a life, you know, and that they're, once again, don't be offended by this sort of thing. If you don't, you know, just don't care about it if you want to, but you can't ban everything that'll offend somebody. What really raised my eyebrows was when a force on the left in British life, the Equality and Human Rights Commission, they actually saw all the way back full circle to that original issue you and I started talking about when they said, and I quote, "We are concerned by any blanket ban on adverts by all religious groups." Notice all religious groups. And then jumping ahead in their quote, "There is no right not to be offended in the UK. What is offensive is very subjective and lies in the eyes of the beholder." I mean, so there still is enough true liberalism in England right now for someone to ultimately say, well, you may just have to sit there and be offended, you know, because this is a society where we're not going to say you can't talk about religion, you know, in a public forum like this.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here again.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Hanukkah with Pastor Mark Serberg. We'll also find Christ in Zephaniah chapter 3 on the judgment of Jerusalem and the nations. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. If you've been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree, I got great news for you. Check out Concordia University, Wisconsin tonight. They offer 50 online education options. Click Concordia University, Wisconsin logo at issuesetc.org and enter the promo code ISSUES. They will waive your application fee. Lifelong Lutheran Learning, Concordia University, Wisconsin, online. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated in the black for 7 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2015, we're $55,000 short of making expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of 2015.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.